The following is a special presentation of Belfast Community Radio. Joanne Mosswild was interviewed by two WBFY volunteers on the topic of the salmon farm proposed for the south end of town.
We have a guest here in the studio.
Yes. It's Joanne Mosswild. Yeah, Joanne has come here today to tell us a few things, to answer some questions, and just give us an update on the Nordic Aquafarm salmon farm proposal that's being proposed for Belfast. And she is part of a group called Local Citizens for Smart Growth, and SMART being sustainable, moderate, accountable, responsible, transparent growth.
Ooh, say that again.
Okay, sustainable, moderate, accountable, responsible, transparent growth. Smart growth. Okay. It's a bunch of citizens of Belfast, Northport, and the whole county, I guess, the whole area, looking at what a very large fish farm, the largest, I understand, that is being proposed.
In the world.
Larger than anything in the world, for our little burg of Belfast. So, Joanne, thank you for coming in today. And
in February, we learned that Nordic Aqua Farms, a Norwegian aquafarm company, wanted to come to Belfast. We learned this by hearing it from Governor LePage, but no one in Belfast really knew about it until this time, except the city council, who knew about it, I guess, for maybe 6 months.
Well, what about the water district? Because they were in
negotiations. Oh, yes, the water district knew about it because they were in negotiations, private negotiations about landing a purchase and sale agreement with Nordic Aqua Farms so that they could have first rights on this land if it met all of the requirements for their project. Then I guess it was March 8th, and these dates might not be correct, but I believe it was the first meeting in March with the City Council. We had an introductory reading of the required zone changes to allow the project to go forward. The Nordic Aqua Farms does not yet own this land. They have a purchase and sale agreement, and they are waiting for the city to change the zoning so that it will be permitted on this parcel, 40-acre parcel, bordered by Perkins Road and Route 1 and the Little River.
And known by many people is to be the area where the water district is, with the building, the old building there, and the rail trail, not the rail trail,
there's a hiking trail, and there's a beautiful waterfall there, and it's the entry, the southern entry into Belfast, and a lot of people have enjoyed looking at that for many years and are pretty upset about thinking of that changing into a pretty much industrialized zone with all that goes along with that. On March 20th, the first official reading of the proposed zoning changes was read at the City Council meeting. At the first meeting on March 8th, I think four people spoke out against the fish farm idea. On March 20th at the City Council meeting, at least 10 people stood up and spoke to the council against this. We've had numerous people write articles to the newspapers. We have done some tabling out in front of the co-op, who's allowed us to have a couple hours each week. And we've been able to educate the public about what's been going on. So the first official reading was March 20th. And then on April 17th, which is coming right up, will be the second and final required reading of these proposed zoning changes.
So let's talk a little bit, some specifics. So this is a huge project that requires what from the city of Belfast? Something about water, something about...
Yeah. First of all, before Nordic Aqua Farms will even purchase the land outright from the water district. And remember, the water district owns it. The city does not own it. But the city has to change the zoning so that this project can happen on this 40-acre parcel.
To commercial?
It needs to be changed to some kind of industrial zoning.
Okay.
Which is interesting because you could build houses on this. And I know we're in a housing crunch here. But and I believe there's one other zoning change going on around Vine Street where they want to change what's residential into industrial. I don't really understand that. So it seems like things are not consistent.
I think that has to do with some drug rehab center, but that's a different story.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know about that. But it's basically zoning changes that currently are residential going into industrial.
And that's the procedure, that if a business wants to site their business there in an area, in a zone that is not zoned for that, they go to the city council to...
Apparently, if you want the zone changed, you just go ask. Now, I'm not really sure why we have zoning. I thought zoning was to protect certain uses and to preserve certain regions of the city so that they would have maintain certain flavors and functions and so forth, and I'm not really sure.
Well, it is true that in the past couple of decades, anyway, there have been some businesses that have come in and they wanted the zoning to change so they could site businesses, like large-scale retail, for instance, and it was not allowed. So there was a big outcry or big discussion about it at the very least, and then people came forward to voice opinions and then to look into what the ramifications would be. So in that way, you know, had we not had any zoning at all, any of those businesses could have just come in and said, okay, here we are.
The city council, it seems as if they are ready and willing to think seriously about changing zoning pretty much any time anyone asks, instead of just saying, no, it's not zoned for that. So it seems a little too flexible to be something that we can count on as people who live here and expect residential to remain residential and industrial to be confined to certain areas like the business park.
So what I'm getting from that, though, is that an informed populace would be able to voice opinions, come out and come to these hearings and ask the city council to really look at what's going on before a zoning change.
Yes.
Has happened. And so what you're here doing is part of that education process, because as I understand it, this has happened pretty quickly for those of us who have not been aware of this going on. I mean, the stuff that has been going on with the city council and the water district.
There's so much information for all of us to learn, not only the public, but also the city council. And this short amount of time of maybe 2 months is simply not enough time, because none of us are fishery specialists and we don't know very much about aquaculture and all that that entails, particularly a project that is supposed to be the largest one in the country.
In the world.
And so we have a lot to learn to make a good decision, one that is the best for Belfast. And a lot of people that I have been working with have been doing a lot of research. For example, the effects on aquifers, which, you know, we all need to learn about before we make this decision. And we'd like to work with the council, not against the council, but we want to work with the council to help learn everything that everybody needs to know. And if this company, Nordic Aqua Farms, thinks Belfast is so wonderful and perfect for this project, I think they can wait 6 or 12 months. Until we figure out if it's really best for us. Mm-hmm. Chances are that this project may be better for Nordic Aqua Farms than it is for Belfast.
Mm-hmm. So what is required? We're looking at how much water they need. We're looking at what is going to happen and what they're releasing into the bay, I believe. Maybe you can extrapolate on some of those.
Well, currently, part of their due diligence is that they are drilling on lots of property around the little river and the reservoir that is currently by the water district. They're not only drilling on the parcel that they're hoping to purchase, but they're drilling on the upper reservoir as well in case they need more water. Okay, now the water district is supposed to be able to sell them a certain number of gallons per year. They have to pay for that, and then they can only get a certain amount. There's a limit, but they have to pay for a minimum. But some of the calculations that have been done about, you know, by people in our group about how much water they're going to need, it appears that their need will surpass what the water district is willing to sell them, which means that they're going to have to get that water from somewhere else. Now, they have drilled some wells on the other water district land and on the land that they want to purchase so that they're looking for more water. It's a little bit, it's a lot concerning because when they start to drain out that aquifer, it's going to affect not only their land, but land all around Belfast. I know 2 summers ago we had wells run dry, and I think that that needs to be thought of when we are courting such a thirsty industry such as aquaculture.
You know, it's interesting. I had no idea before reading about these things in the paper and hearing people talk about this that the Belfast Water District was not owned by all of us, you know, by us in the city, because things going on, like with Poland Springs, for instance, I thought, well, you know, we're okay here. I didn't realize that actually the Belfast Water District, you know, their trustees could decide to sell that whole area and do stuff, presumably, as they say, for the base for the benefit of their stakeholders, which is supposed to include all of us.
I think it's important to realize that if the science from the Water District is correct and they say that they can no longer and can never in the future use the water in the reservoir for drinking water. If they say, if what they say is true, and I'm going to give them that, I'm going to say, yes, it's true. And if we have enough water to serve the city of Belfast that's up in the new wells up on Swan Lake Avenue, if all of that's true, I don't have a problem with the water district getting rid of that land, you know, selling it to someone. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because it doesn't fulfill their mission. Their mission is to provide safe, clean, adequate water for the city of Belfast. Mm. And if they're not going to use that land to do it, that's okay. My issue is who they're selling it to and what that buyer plans to do with it, because that threatens so many things in Belfast, not only water, but it's going to cause pollution and it's going to cause noise and lighting and so forth. And those are all things, I mean, it's kind of hard to talk about it because I don't even know where to start.
Well, here's somebody, this facts and concerns about the water and discharge, I think this might be a good place to start, that they're going to have these huge tanks and it'll take 484 million gallons of water, it says here, to fill the tanks.
What are you reading from?
I'm reading the land-based fish farm facts and concerns about water and discharge. I guess that was done by your group, by someone doing some good research. And it says that the city is willing to buy or sell 100, not the city, the water district, 100 million and a maximum of 263 million gallons annually. So already we see that that's not enough, like you just said. And that even if there's, you know, then you have to look at what the business is, right? So if something goes wrong with the tanks or there's some contamination, they're draining that. And then they have to clean everything. So
they do. And one thing it's important to realize is that not that figure that you gave for water that they use, that's not all fresh water. So we do have to realize that it's not all fresh water. But some of it's salt water, and some of it will come off of these other wellheads that they are, you know, they're looking at this other aquifer to get other water. So they don't expect to get all the water they need from the water district. They have other ways to get it.
I see. So we don't really know what the implications of all that are.
We don't know, because I don't know that they can tell us how much salt water and how much fresh water and how much brackish water they're going to need, or when they're going to need it. For example, if there's found to be some kind of disease in the tank or something, that tank has to be drained and cleaned. They don't know how often that's going to happen.
And what happens when they drain the water? Where does the contaminated water go?
Well, they have said that they will be filtering all of the water 90%.
Ooh.
And so they're going to pump that effluent out into the bay, which they need to get a permit for.
You mean the 10% that's left?
But 10% of that water will have, you know, some kind of debris in it or something. It's not clear exactly what will be contained in that water when it goes out.
So they've never done anything on this scale, so they don't really know.
No one has. And the industry, you know, I don't think the fish farming industry is really ready for this. I think they have seen successful farms on a much smaller scale, 300,000 to 1,000 or 3,000 to 1,000 pounds of fish a year, but not this scale, which I think is 33,000
tons,
yeah,
of salmon. So, and they've never done salmon work before, have they?
No, they have not.
Hmm. Interesting.
We do have several flyers here that are going to be on the Smart Growth Facebook page, and hopefully you all can post a link to that.
I believe so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully with, yes,
we have Local Citizens for Smart Growth Salmon.
Okay, so we'll have some of that. So what we're asking, or what you're asking for, is for the city council to do more research to perhaps slow the process down? Is that what?
Yeah, slowing the process down would help everybody learn more, and we could be more thorough and have more conversations. The urgency is that on April 17th, technically, the council has the right to vote for or against these zone changes. Once the council, now they don't have to vote on the 17th, but they have done the required number of public hearings, and they could, if they felt ready, could vote on April 17th. My concern, and the concern of many people, is that as soon as the council changes these zonings and allows this use, and then Nordic Aqua Farms decides to purchase the land, then the only thing that will keep Belfast safe from this development, if it has any environmental impacts that are bad, community impacts that are bad, the only thing that's left to save us from that is our planning board, who all the planning board can do is implement and follow the laws that the council has set forth by doing the zoning changes, okay? The planning board can't say, well, we don't like that if it falls within the rubric of the law that the council has made. The planning board can only carry out the law. And then once the planning board has done their bit, and probably simultaneously, you know, then we have to count on the EPA and the DEP to protect us from pollution.
Not a good track record.
I don't really feel like we can count on them to take care of Belfast. And that is why I think that we are best off if we have our council be very well informed before they do this, because nobody else is going to watch out for us better than ourselves.
And no environmental impact statement is required in the state of Maine?
That's right. If the council decided to vote for these zoning changes, then we think, or maybe even before they would vote for the zoning changes, we would want Nordic Aqua Farms to have to pay for an environmental impact study. And that would encompass everything from taking away water to what kind of wildlife is going to be disrupted, because this is a pristine wild area that they are going to disrupt, to impacts on water supply. So it's important for us to have that information, because once an area is industrialized, it's pretty hard to bring it back to what it was before.
Yeah. We're talking to Joanne Mosswild. She's been talking about the Nordic Fish Farms proposal for the salmon farm, largest salmon farm in the world, to be sited here in Belfast.
We're speaking with Joanne Mosswild.
And she is here from Local Citizens. Where is that? For smart growth, that's sustainable, moderate, accountable, responsible, transparent growth. Smart growth. Love that. Yeah.
So what you've mentioned a lot of issues. How are we communicating to the city council? Is there an avenue to do this? How do we let people know that this is of concern, so there's no surprises on April 17th.
Fortunately, we have a city council that is receptive to comments, and I think that they're appreciating all the information that people are sending them. You can send an email to wmarshall@cityofbelfast.org, and that email will go to Wayne Marshall, who is the city planner, and he is printing all of these out and giving every one of the five council members and the mayor a copy of every single email letter he receives. If you prefer to mail it in, please mail it to Wayne Marshall at City Hall in Belfast, Maine.
I also understand that it's not just for Belfast residents, that they're taking comments from members of Waldo County, Northport, et cetera.
This is really a regional issue. And people that I've been speaking with live in Camden, they live in Lincolnville, they live in Montville, and they're concerned because Belfast is their city. This is where they come to do their business. This is where their friends are, their kids do programs here, whatever, and they're in and out of Belfast all the time, and they feel like this is their town too. So it's not really just a Belfast city issue. It's not just a Waldo County issue. It's certainly a coastal Maine issue, because whatever's in the effluent is going to go out into the bay, and it is a world issue, because what goes in the water here is in the water everywhere.
And there's traffic to consider, perhaps? How many truckloads did they say once they got operational?
I've heard a variety of numbers of truckloads. I don't think anybody really knows, but there will be more truckloads than there are now. Okay? So we're looking also at a long construction phase, possibly 7 years of construction if they build this the way they say they want to build it. Sort of building, as the fish grow, they're building the next spot for them to go to. So that's a lot of trucks for construction. That's a lot of trucks for inputs and outputs. We have little old Route 1 with two lanes. I don't see a way to widen that road, and that would not be good for Belfast, I don't think. So I have no idea how we would manage increased traffic like that.
And the employment issue, because I've read some things about that. And Free Press just had a really interesting article about the housing crunch in Belfast, and that we don't have enough people to fill the jobs that are here. So I was just wondering.
That's true. There was recently a job fair and right here in town, and apparently there are employers looking for people to fill jobs, and there aren't people there to do it. So why is that? Is it because they can't afford a place to live in Belfast? Might be the case. But if we can't fill the jobs we have with these longstanding local companies that we have that are, you know, born and bred here in Maine, why would we bring in another company who might be able to pay more money but might possibly take employees from our very own businesses that are trying to survive here? I would love to see our energy go toward building some affordable housing and not toward trying to figure out if we need this fish farm.
So there are many different aspects of this. There's the employment issue, the housing issue. That all are part of this, the ramifications of this, the environmental stuff, which you've not totally, we're talking about some of it, but then also I understand there's paving that needs to be done. There's like they want to change part of this. Am I understanding this right? Up to 70% of that area could be paved or
right. So
covered
somehow. The code right now,
40 acres, I think.
Yeah, there's 40 acres in this purchase and sale agreement. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that 70% of that can be made impervious. So whenever there's a construction project, they say, you know, you have this much land that is currently totally pervious to water. Okay. So that means water can go down and recharge our aquifers, okay? And so with this construction project, they're saying, okay, the code will say that you can make 70% of that impervious. So that means we're going to have problems with runoff, and it could, I'm not a hydrologist, but it could change the ability of the aquifers to recharge if we're going to be paving over land which is no longer pervious to water.
It seems to me that there should be some hydrologists, not cosmetologists, yeah, hydrologists coming in to as expert witnesses or I don't know, people who could be giving information.
I think that would be really helpful to the council, so that they could make an educated decision
right.
about how this is going to affect our water supply and the water supply of, I mean, you know, not just what the water district owns, but people who have wells, and not to mention rivers. You know, the Little River in particular.
So have we covered all of the negative aspects of this? Because I want to ask also, well, about why are we considering this at all as a city? What are the positive aspects, or what is being said to be the positive aspects that would make us even consider this?
What I have heard Mike Hurley say in a public meeting, a city council meeting, we're in it because of the money. We want to lower taxes.
Well, now, what do we know about when we other larger institutions that have come to Belfast? Have our taxes been lowered from Athena Health or from when MBNA was here? And
or the shipyard?
Or the shipyard?
Have we done studies on that? I'm
Research
just curious.
Research suggests that those large businesses that came to Belfast did not lower people's taxes. Apparently, what happens when you raise revenue in your city, the state says, oh, well, we're not going to give you quite so much.
Especially for school,
especially
school
for
funding.
Schools.
Right.
So it kind of is a wash in the end. I think that a project of this magnitude is actually going to end up costing the city money because of the stress on our infrastructure. And whatever money we get from them, I think, is not really going to be that significant after everything is said and done. And then you have to think about not only monetary costs, but costs in lifestyle, peace and quiet, happiness, quality of life. Why do people move to Belfast? Because they don't want to live in New Jersey anymore.
Sorry, okay? To all of our New Jersey listeners. I'm sure, you know,
and
those who moved
we
here.
Love it that people came here from New Jersey and Philadelphia. That's all great. But probably people came here for something different. And I think it's important that we remember what Belfast is special, what's special about Belfast. And let's try to preserve that.
So it would seem that really, really weighing the cost-benefit analysis, I mean, having that analysis by, I don't know, the people who really understand how that works in cities would be really important. I mean, do we have that kind of expertise in our city?
I certainly hope that the council will strive to have those numbers perfect before they make this decision.
So one of the things, though, I mean, the big thing that your group is doing is to get out and to discuss this with people, right? Because and I'm finding this, too. I mean, I didn't know that much about it, and I heard the WERU interview, which I recommend to anybody to listen to.
What is that? What was that,
was
show?
Ellie Daniels.
What show were you on?
It was on Maine Currents last Thursday.
Maine Currents with Amy Brown.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was very good. But I'm talking about the presentation that they gave at the Hodgson Center. And I was not able to attend, so I heard that.
Oh, we
and
heard it
so
broadcast
later.
That
was like my
later.
First big introduction. There was some information in the paper, but not a lot. It was mostly, it was more of a glowing kind of, you know, oh, look, this is going to happen kind of thing. So, and I've just been aware and just asking people about it or just conversing with people. People are like, oh, yeah, it sounds good, because they haven't really been educated about it. So I guess that's, you know, to think about the pros and cons are really important for people, right?
I think it's really important that we have a lot of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our goal, is to educate people, have conversations, learn where people can share their expertise to help us all learn more and make a good decision.
Which is why you're asking the council to not put this...
not change the zoning
change
on
next Tuesday.
Don't change the zoning next Tuesday. Let's have a 6 or 12 month moratorium on this. And that's, you know, and then we can really, really dig deep and find out what this is really about. Is it really appropriate for our city? Maybe it is, but we do not have enough information to make that decision today or next week.
And the best thing to do right now is to let your city councilors know by actually getting it to Wayne Marshall, the city planner, because he'll make sure that all five of the city councilors get this. If you just send it to one,
and
they may...
the mayor.
And the mayor.
The whole city.
And the
mayor.
Yes. Yeah. And we are asking people to, if you have concerns or questions, whatever they are, you don't have to write a fancy long letter. It can be two or three sentences. They just want to hear what people are thinking.
Okay. Right. And that's, again, wmarshall@cityofbelfast.org. He's the city planner. If you're going to write it, write a letter, Wayne Marshall, City Hall, Belfast, Maine, 04915. I love it. That we have a city. You just put it, City Hall. That's it.
That's it.
Also, yeah. This coming Friday from 12 to 4, we will be standing outside of the co-op with an information table with flyers. And okay. We'd love to have conversations with people and hear what you're thinking about this.
Great.
Right. And maybe you have some ideas that haven't been thought of yet. You know, about how to make this work or how to make it not work. You know, how to change the dynamic here and look at the larger issues. And would you say your Facebook page again?
Yeah.
The Facebook page is Local Citizens for Smart Growth, /salmon.
Okay.
Right. Anything else that you'd like to say that we haven't covered just now? That once we turn off the mics, you say, why didn't I say that?
People are are invited to come to the city city council meeting on April 17th. It starts at 7 p.m. I haven't seen the agenda yet, but as I said, that is a night when they could vote on this. They may or may not be discussing it. You can speak at a city council meeting, either at the beginning of the meeting or at the end when they have open to the public. Typically, they request that you speak no longer than 3 to 5 minutes. Once again, this whole information gathering and sharing is really about people working together with neighbors, with the city council. It's not us against them. It's working together because that's how we're going to find out what's best.
Right.
So talk to your neighbors, write to your city councilors, and let's work on this as a group, community.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We've been listening to
Joanne Moss-Wild.
Thank you.
From
Local Citizens for Smart Growth.
Sustainable, moderate, acceptable, responsible, transparent growth.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to a special presentation of Belfast Community Radio. WBFY volunteers interviewing Joanne Moss-Wild about the proposed onshore salmon farm. Thank you for listening and for your interest in local affairs here in Belfast.